Mara Ellerepe, Vice President of EGOT Hope in Papua New Guinea, thanks for joining us today. Tell me about your organization, EGOT Hope, and what you do for HIV-positive people and those living with AIDS in Papua New Guinea.
Our organization, EGOT Hope, has our objective. Our main objective is to create one united voice for all people affected and infected by HIV in Papua New Guinea, and also to lobby against, to lobby the government against stigma and discrimination, not only the government, the public, everyone. And that's our objective, to eliminate stigma and discrimination in Papua New Guinea.
What are some of the issues facing people who are living with HIV and AIDS in Papua New Guinea?
The issues that we face in our day-to-day lives, having to access basic services like medicine, ART, or opportunistic infections, treatments for opportunistic infections, and nutrition, like in the main, like a town in Port Moresby. Port Moresby is the center. So having to live in Port Moresby, we can't make gardens because it's a city, and everyone has to live, you know, buy things. So possibly people who are not employed or who don't have a paid job find it so hard, and it's a lot of challenges that they face because we don't have social security measures in place.
Now, you also mentioned stigma. What are some of the issues surrounding stigma there?
Stigma in terms of having to come forward and access treatment, like most are scared of, because confidentiality is not guaranteed at the hospitals, clinics, some clinics that they go to. When someone is tested positive, the information leaks out. And that's one thing that we don't want to see happen. And
Now, you mentioned in your keynote presentation what you called greater involvement of positive people. So at a conference like this, how do you see that principle being acted out?
I would like to see that principle acted out in a conference like this would be to have positive people involved in getting them involved, not only as, I mean, or have programs that are specifically have positive people's views heard, or the challenges that they go through, or what successes they have had, and these kind of things are important that we should hear. But at this meeting, that we didn't provide that platform, though we had some community. We tried our best to involve the community.
What are some examples of how the community was involved in this meeting?
Through our community tour programs, like taking them out to see what the Australia's response was, like the HIV clinics, so the support services they have in place. And we had some other activities like the welcoming session where we invited the community to come alone and feel part of it. And the satellite program where we were asked to talk about how we see ourselves in the next 10 years. So these are some of the programs. And also the positive lunch was some of the activities that the community initiated.
Now, I read a statistic that about half of Papua New Guinea's doctors work outside of the country. You're a nurse by training, so you obviously know what the health system is like there, and it's probably somewhat comparable to other places where the epidemic is really big. Talk about the importance of addressing the healthcare workers' issues in places where HIV/AIDS is a difficult problem.
The problem is with the management of the health department. I mean, the management, if they're not doing their work, how can the people on the field or ground level do their work? So people are moving out because, simple things like gloves, if they run out, it takes them 2 to 3 months to order, and that's not good enough. So if that is happening, then what if it's going to happen to the drugs, ART? If we run out today, are they going to take them another 3 months for them to order? So these are the kind of things. And, doctors don't go away because some doctors, some people who are already in the management system, I mean, who are, have been in the management, have worked long years, and they have been working a long time, and I mean, it's about time some of them stepped down and gave the position to people who are young people who are graduating and coming up to get the, you know, system going. But then it's kind of like, it's all about power and, you know, this, and it's all mixed with political things, and it's just crazy.
So I've heard some people here at the conference say that the healthcare workers issue is one of the number one issues that's facing the fight against HIV/AIDS. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I'll agree with that as well, because we need the healthcare workers to monitor us, to treat us when we go to hospitals. I mean, it's their work. And also, they are the ones who are exposed to being infected. So having to protect them is also a priority that the, you know, the Ministry of Health or Department of Health has to take seriously, like gloves, simple things like gloves. It's a big thing to them, as we wouldn't want all our nurses and doctors to be infected. So I think taking care of the healthcare workers is also a very important thing.
Now, in many parts of the world, women represent the majority of HIV cases. And as a woman living with HIV, what advice would you give women? What encouragement would you give women who are either vulnerable to HIV or are actually already infected?
To women who are already living with HIV, my advice is that there is, I mean, at the end of every storm, there is always a rainbow. I mean, we may feel sad today, but tomorrow is another day. There may be challenges ahead, but there may be good things happening. So, I mean, HIV is not the end of the world. I have felt that 10 years back, but now I look at this, my life as a totally different way.
You just mentioned you found out your diagnosis 10 years ago. At that time, did you think you'd be alive today, able to address thousands of people at a keynote scientific conference, and furthermore, representing the millions of people who are HIV positive around the world?
I was diagnosed in 1997, and the doctors told me that I wouldn't live to see the new millennium. The doctor predicted and told me, you will not see 2000. And I said, so what makes you think that? And he said, because you're going to die. And I said, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. But then at the first, when I was first diagnosed, everything came to a stop. Like, I felt that my world was just, I was nothing, I was nobody. Like, I said, what is this nursing, I mean, the nursing degree that I have, what good is it to me? I'm already infected with HIV. I'm not going to be alive to practice it. So, and then when I became so sick, that's when the doctor said that, it made me so angry. And I said, how could you predict my death? How could you predict me dying like that? Well, I'm going to prove you wrong that I'm not going to die. And I'm going to live to see the next 10 years. And I never realized that I will be, you know, coming this far, coming, you know, talking at international conferences like this. And like when I look back, it was kind of a huge step that I had taken. And it also really, it has boosted my self-esteem as well as making me confident. And also I can talk openly about things which I feel that is not right.
And last question, you explained in your keynote that your organization, EGOT Hope, means there is hope. So to you, what does a hopeful future look like for the fight against HIV/AIDS?
I have this hope that there will be a cure, and that's the hope that I cling to. I take my drugs every day, but I always hope that one day, one fine day, there will be a cure. So that's the hope that I cling to. And I hope that things in PNG will be different. When EGOT Hope, when we reach out to all the other provinces, I can see that positive people coming together, trying to make a difference in, you know, the health system and all that. I can see things becoming more different.
Well, Mara Alaripe, Vice President of EGOT Hope, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.